This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Now, Macca, what do you have to say?
Well, we're about to speak to Chris Bone. Chris is the Shadow Treasurer, and I want to make a disclosure at the start. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Now, my disclosure is I'm actually retiring... leaving full-time work at the end of next week. I have made my retirement decision based on what I believe is the reality that the franking credits policy will be law. So I've made a decision based on that. I think it's a great policy. I think potentially, I might suggest later, something that I think might be a worthwhile small change, but I wanted to disclose that I would have... had this policy not been there, received a refund of some franking credits. Should you be elected, I won't. So I wanted to disclose that, but I'm happy with the policy and I accept it.
Fair enough. Good on you. And I've got to say that the view that you've just expressed, I wouldn't say that's the majority view of those affected.
No, it's not.
But it's a significant view, many people say, including there were some people on the 7:30 report on the ABC this week saying, look, I get this, but I can't justify it. I'd rather the money be spent on schools, hospitals and community services. And one gentleman on the 7:30 report said, look, I've got, $1 million in my superannuation. That's 50 times the age pension. How can I get these checks? And the problem, of course, with policy, and perhaps I should just, for the listeners who haven't followed it closely before I...
Well, we were going to ask you to very, very, very briefly, if you can, explain what this is and what it means. Just very briefly.
Yeah, very briefly, as briefly as I can. Look, we don't have double taxation in Australia. In 1987, Paul Keating abolished it. He said, look, if the company's paid tax, we won't tax your dividends. So you get dividends and you don't pay further income tax on it. And we're keeping that. But in 2000, the year 2000, John Howard changed the policy and said, no, we can do better than that. Even if you haven't paid tax, I'm going to refund to you the tax that the company has paid. So it's negative income tax. So if you imagine, Telstra has made profits, and to the degree that the shareholders are retired people who don't pay income tax, then we refund all the tax that Telstra has paid to the shareholders. So society has got zero corporate tax to that degree. Mm. Now, when that started, it only cost about $500 million. I say only, it's still a lot of money, but it cost about $500 million. It's now costing close to $6 billion a year in refunds to people who haven't paid income tax. We're the only country in the world who does it this way. Even other countries that have imputation, like New Zealand, don't refund it to non-taxpayers. They simply say you can get your tax down to zero, but we don't pay negative income tax. We don't send checks. And that's a lot of money.
Chris, no one's going to argue against you about the inequity of not paying tax on money that you've actually received. But what percentage of the population will be affected by this policy change of yours?
4%. 4%
4% of the population. And what sort of people are we talking about? Is that...
Well, we're mainly talking retired people, like your colleague, or about to be, who haven't paid income tax. Now, of course, there have been a series of changes made which have made superannuation more and more, if you like, concessional, more and more attractive in the tax system. Basically, you don't pay tax on your super if you're retired, and that means that you can have a lot of money in your superannuation account and basically not be a taxpayer in many instances, not all, but many instances. And so it's reverse means tested. The more shares you own, the bigger refund you get. You can be receiving shares bigger than the age pension if you own a lot of shares. And to give your listeners an idea, because sometimes you see people say in the media, I lose 5,000 or I lose 10,000. Fair enough. I'm sure they're telling the truth. But if you lose $5,000 under our policy, that means you've got about $230,000 in shares alone. That's just in shares. You might well have other assets, a house, multiple houses. If you lose $10,000, you've got $466,000 just in shares. And, of course, it's important to note, too, that we are exempting pensioners, full and part pensioners, because society, government, parliament, whoever you want to describe it, has decided they're the people with the asset level or the income level that deserve further support. So that's a way of really means testing benefit going forward.
Chris, Mac has actually got an alternative proposal to put forward to you. Mac, fire away.
As I said, Chris, I've made a decision, retirement decision, based on the fact I believe this policy will be implemented. In government and in opposition, both major parties have applied an amount of a household income of around $150,000 as the cut-off for benefits or the eligibility for benefits, whether it's health insurance rebate, whether it's family allowance, all these sort of things. My suggestion is that, and my back of the envelope calculation is, if you applied that to this, one is you'd reduce the income that the government would claw back by about 10%, but that the top 50% of that 4% of the population, and that is people that are earning well over $200,000 in dividends and getting, you know, a franking credit refund, that they would, those people would end up paying, they wouldn't get the refund, but people on smaller incomes, and $150,000, I use that as an example because that's used in a number of benefits, it might be $100,000, might be $60,000, that there was still a partial refund. Even though I think the policy is right, the dynamics around it and the toxicity around it, this might take some of it out of it. I'm sure you get the gist of it. I just like you take that on board and consider it, because there are so many people that actually don't understand this. You've explained it very well. I understand it. Tass understands it. A lot of people do, but a lot don't. And I thought it was, to use a Yes Minister term, it was very courageous when you said, if you don't like it, don't vote for us. Good on you.
Well, you know, I was simply making the point there, Macca, that we've had the courage to put the policy out there and let people judge it. You know, the Liberals said no change to the pension and then took 100,000 people off the pension, for example. People didn't have the chance to vote on that. We're giving the Australian people the chance to vote on this and, you know, many other policies as well. That was the point I was making. I was being sort of, misconstrued intentionally in some quarters, but I was simply making the point that, you know, if we think this is a good policy, which we do, it's incumbent on us to be clear with the Australian people and seek a mandate to implement it, not wait till we win an election and then sneak it in a budget after the election, which is sort of what the Liberals did in 2014. Just on your suggestion, Macca, I understand where you're coming from, but of course a separate means test would be an increase in the complexity of the system. That's why we've gone with the pension as the means test, in effect. We've effectively said, look, if your income or your assets aren't enough, we do have a system in Australia where you can get the pension with quite a lot of assets.
You can.
So they're all exempt. But if you're over that, then I think that really we cannot continue to be the only country in the world that's sending checks to people who don't pay income tax, and that money could be frankly better spent on schools, on hospitals, on infrastructure. Which is services that we so desperately need in Australia.
Chris, we know that, and we think that's a very good line. Mm. I heard you speak recently. I managed to sneak into the very back of I think the Nurses Union building where I heard you give
the Chifley
oration. Yeah. Yes, and it was actually happened to be the very day that the Banking Royal Commission handed over its report. I thought you were going to talk more about that, by the way, but you didn't. Nevertheless, it seems to me that even at that forum where you could argue that it was largely the party faithful who were in attendance, you did get a bit of stick about this policy issue. So there's no doubt in our mind that you have lost those people who would be considered beneficiaries of this policy. But then there is a middle ground who are actually still a bit confused and don't get it. What are you going to do to actually get those people back on board or get them to understand what this really means and what impact it might have on them?
Well, look, any reform is difficult, Taz. You know, any reform, particularly where there are some people who worse off as a result of it, you know, and who feel strongly about it.
But that's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is that people don't understand this.
Yes, it's very confusing. Well, it's a complex area. And look, many people didn't even know this existed. I mean, many younger people it's the first they've heard of it when we've announced we're abolishing it. So hang on, you can get tax refunds, you don't pay tax. I didn't know you could do that. Look, we've just got to explain it. Okay? And look, the Liberals don't have much to offer, frankly. All they've got is a bit of fear. So they're just going to keep on with the fear campaign, and I've just got to counter that with a facts campaign. I'll leave you with one last example. We've got the situation where a nurse, for example, earning $65,000 a year, not an unreasonable income figure for a nurse, that nurse pays $13,000 a year in income tax. But if you're a retired shareholder with $65,000 in income from the shares, not only do we not tax you, fair enough, but we give you a $27,000 tax refund.
Yes.
So we take $13,000 off the nurse, we give $27,000 to the retiree on the same income.
Mm.
No, it's just not fair. It's not sustainable. And somebody's got to call it out. And we've taken the decision to call it out before an election. You're right, that leads to certain controversies and people who are unhappy about it are perfectly, of course, entitled to make their views known as they're doing. But we're going to the election saying we want to be very clear, vote for us. And this is the policy that we're taking to the election. And, you know, we're not going to mislead you. This is what we want to do. And we think it's necessary. And, you know, there's plenty of people saying, oh, that's too brave. They should have kept it until after the election. Well, that's not how we operate.
And the thing is, Chris, we are the only country in the world that does this. And there's a reason. It's because it was bad policy when it was introduced. It's still bad policy. I've just got my eye on the horizon. I suspect there's going to be some boats coming full of franking credits.
Chris, it's Tass back here again. Macca is going to acknowledge something shortly, but before he does that, with an election coming forward, and given that our listenership is largely an LGBTI audience, not just in Melbourne, but you know, in many parts of the country, what can our listeners expect from an incoming Labor Shorten-led government?
Well, we've got a very comprehensive agenda. Of course, at the last election, we said we'd legislate marriage equality in the first 100 days. We don't have to worry about this time. That's done, not for a process that we endorsed or were happy with, but nevertheless, it's done, which is, of course, a good thing. But we've got a very comprehensive agenda, which is to close down a reform, and not just franking credits, there are other areas of reform, the tax system, to make our budget more sustainable, to get bigger budget surpluses, which we need, but also to invest in important initiatives which benefit all Australians, including lifting our school education standard, providing universal access to preschool for 3- and 4-year-olds. It's not particularly, you know, front of mind or sexy policy for many people, but it's about the long term. And if we're educating younger people in particular with access to early education, we know there's a massive payoff through their life for them and for society. They're more productive, their school results are better. And that's just one example. Then we've got big investments in TAFE, all of this cuts to universities. We have taken a decision to do that. Now, that means that, that means we have controversies on the other side of the debate, people who don't like losing franking credits or, you know, want to continue negative gearing, for example. We will keep negative gearing for all existing properties or all existing investments, but we'll limit it to new properties going forward. There's another example. But look, we've got a big, comprehensive, bold agenda, and I think the Labor Party is at its best, as Gough Whitlam was, as Paul Keating were, with that sort of agenda.
And when you've got some more specifics around targeting the LGBTI community, we'd love to have you back on the show to talk about that.
I'd be more than happy to come back. I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because I know some things that we are shortly going to announce that we haven't announced yet. So,
You can tell us.
I don't want to steal the thunder of my colleague's announcement, but perhaps after that, either myself or another colleague would be more than happy to come back on.
Good on you.
That'd be great. I want to say thank you for your time this morning. Thanks for listening to my somewhat unusual proposal, but also want to thank you. Josh Burns, the Labor candidate for McNamara, put a policy proposal up to assist Joy, $600,000 to assist Joy in moving to the Pride Centre. I know as Shadow Treasurer, because it's a budget item, you would have been involved in that discussion. Thank you. We look forward to getting the money. So thank you for supporting that. But thank you for being open about this policy and being prepared to discuss it and stand by it.
More than happy. I've enjoyed our chat this morning. I'm happy to come back on, and thanks for the work you do in the community. And Macca, enjoy your retirement. Well earned, I'm sure.
There are a lot of people that don't like the idea of me retiring because it means I'm even more unfettered.
Well, I'm sure you'll be around and prominent for many years to come.
Good on you, Chris. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for the chat.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.